Good morning. Welcome to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. Our worship is at 9 a.m. on Sundays, followed by adult Bible class and Sunday school at 10:15. And this upcoming Holy Week, we have Maundy Thursday service at 6:30 p.m., Good Friday service at 6:30 p.m., and then our Easter celebration service next Sunday, April 9th at 9 a.m. And we invite you to worship with us. Let us begin today's service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins unto God our Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Savior. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I have the joy of telling you that God loves you, and he sent his Son to die for you on the cross to forgive all your sins, and Jesus did die for you. Therefore, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for today is from Matthew 21, and it reads, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks upon them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut palm branches and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those who went behind shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth." Dear friends in Christ, in the movie Ben-Hur, which is an all-time classic, Ben-Hur speaks of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with these words, "I saw your Caesar make his way into Jerusalem. You said that he would proclaim himself King of the Jews. From the steps of the temple I watched the procession descend the mountains, bringing him. I heard the singing, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.' I saw the beautiful palms being waved, and I looked for a figure of royalty, a horseman in purple, a chariot with a driver in shining brass, a warrior with a shield. I looked for his guards, and I looked for his armies. But instead of a Caesar helmeted and sworded, I saw a man riding on a donkey's colt and crying." Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem is often called his triumphal entry because he's going to win the battle over sin, death, and the devil at the cross by his death. But so much of the evidence seems to be contrary to it being a triumphal entry. Now, the disciples are talking about receiving thrones, but Jesus keeps talking about hanging on a cross and dying. He says, "They will arrest me, beat me, flog me, crucify me, and kill me. The crowds keep clamoring, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sort of a king's entry. But soon Jesus will be helplessly crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? A murderer, Barabbas, they will be set free. Jesus, the Savior, will be nailed. On this day, there's a grand parade in his honor, and everyone is praising him. But 5 days from this day, Jesus will be carrying his own cross, with people condemning him or weeping. How can they call this a triumphal entry while Jesus is sobbing and crying? He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I long to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And he sobs profusely. He stops on a hill overlooking the city and says again, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you, even you, would only know on this day who would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. And Jesus is bawling his own eyes out. There was an old tradition among the rabbis that said, when the Messiah comes, if Israel is ready, he will come riding on a white horse. But if Israel is not ready, he will come riding on the colt of a donkey. How can we call it a triumphal entry when all we see is a would-be king who is about to get very, very bloody and die? Edward Shalito tells in poetic form how Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem is triumphant. He says, though we never sought thee, we seek thee now. Thy eyes burn through the dark, our only star. We must have sight of thorn marks on thy brow. We must have thee, O Jesus of the scars. The world, it frightens us with rage and without calm. In all the universe, we have no place. Our sin is killing us. Where is the balm? Lord Jesus, by thy scars, we know God's grace. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to thy throne. But to our wounds, thy wounds alone can speak, and no other god has wounds but thou alone. So what made Palm Sunday and Holy Week necessary? By our sin, we declared war on God, and by his righteousness, God declared justice and judgment on sin. Our sin is an act of war against God. Our sin is an attempt to dethrone God, to replace him with ourselves. Our sin is our expletive way of telling God, we don't like the way you're running things around here. Sin is our attempt to live life unbuckled from the God of life, which is why our sin is so insane. Do we not understand when we choose to sin, that is, to live life unbuckled from the God of life, what we're choosing is death. Know that you and I will lose our war of sin against God. Numbers 32 says, of this you can be sure, your sins will find you out. And when your sins are found out by a righteous God who owns you, Hebrews 10 declares, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God's word informs us of our condition without Jesus, without Palm Sunday, without Jesus' Good Friday death, without Jesus' Easter morning resurrection, when we are told or given these descriptions of our condition, that we are separated, lost, cursed, condemned, guilty, depart from me, utter darkness, destruction, and hell. This is our condition that made Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter morning necessary. 2 Thessalonians 1 summarizes our problem with these words: the Lord will punish those who do not obey or take to heart the gospel of Jesus, and they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. And when you're cut off from the God of life, that's death, folks. It is the insanity of our sinning and our playing God that made this Holy Week necessary. Martin Luther once said, "There are two abodes for sin. Sin will either reside on you and it will crush you eternally, or it will be placed on Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and it will crush him for you. If your sin is loaded on you, you are damned. But if your sin is loaded on Christ, you are saved and set free." This is why Jesus is entering Jerusalem. You see, your sin and mine caused an awful predicament for God. And the awful predicament that it caused is that he is righteous and we are sinful. But if God were to give us the justice that we deserve, we would be cut off from him forever and he would lose the ones he dearly loves. So what was his other option? His only other option was to punish our sins on a substitute. So in stepped Christ, the Lamb of God, to pay a debt he did not owe, because you and I owed a debt we could not pay. Without Jesus, the presence of God is dangerous. Sinful humans dare not presume to step into God's presence on their own terms or in their own righteousness, because we don't have any. To do so is an invitation to death and judgment. Without Jesus, the presence of God is not a safe place for sinners. Without Jesus, to expose sin and sinners to an all-righteous God is like exposing gas to fire. We'd be toast. God's wrath against our sin is not just a bluff. God isn't playing poker. Our God is a righteous God, and because he's a righteous God, he can't just overlook sin. He has to punish it, or else he has to get out of the business of being God. The late Dr. Lewis Brighton once said, paraphrasing Luther, "If it were not for the cross of Jesus, no matter how much God loves you, he would still have to send you to hell, because he must punish sin. But now that he has punished your sin on Jesus, he can no more punish your sin on you if you are in Jesus than he could punish Jesus for his own sins, and Jesus has none." Yet, the moment that God speaks about punishing sins, what do we do? Sinners lash out at God for being unloving and uncaring and a mean and angry God, and they shake their fist in God's face and tell him in no uncertain terms, usually with a few expletives thrown in, how unloving he is. For, as they like to say, a God of love would never punish sin with death and hell. So what should God do? Let us into his heavenly paradise with our sin? Those who don't want to repent of their sins shout yes. That's what he should do. But let me ask you this. How many sins did it take for mankind to ruin God's first paradise? Just one. And look at the sinful world that we live in today. And many of us, even those who don't believe in Jesus, hate this sinful, broken world we live in today. And it only took one sin that led to where we are today. And yet we think God should let all people, even unbelievers, into heaven without repentance and with their sins. It would just ruin heaven again. And look how we've destroyed God's perfect creation with our sin. The COVID virus, for example, is just one symptom of sin's destruction. If the truth be told, the whole time that we're blaming God for being unloving of us by punishing sin, because we don't want to turn from our sins that are unloving to God and unloving of others, the whole time we're blaming God for being unloving. Now get this, the whole time we're blaming God for being so unloving because he has to punish sin, Jesus, the whole time, Jesus is carrying your sins, my sins, everyone's sins, our cross, and our death to Calvary. Doesn't sound like an unloving God to me. And Jesus is about to get very, very bloody to save you and me from our sins. And yet we insist on telling him, he's not a God of love. No, the truth is, you and I are the loveless ones, not God. And that's why Jesus is entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, to go the way of death and hell for you. Don't call him an unloving God. He's facing your death and your hell so that you'll never have to face it. The problem is that you and I love ourselves more than God, and we love our sins more than his forgiveness. That's the problem. We're the ones who are truly unloving. So enough of this insanity of God not being loving. Repent, O sinner, of your loveless sins. But now the good news, and there is good news. Jesus willingly and lovingly became very, very bloody and very, very damned and very, very dead for all sinners, which is what we remember and celebrate this Holy Week, now some 2,000 years later. How can we call Palm Sunday a triumphal entry? Because Christ is headed to the cross to triumph over sin, triumph over death, triumph over the grave, triumph over hell, triumph over the devil, all once and for all. And yes, he will do so by being condemned and dying in our place. For this was a war in which shed blood wins. And I want to repeat that. The reason this is a triumphal entry is because this battle that Jesus is fighting for our salvation, this is a war in which shed blood wins. So how can Palm Sunday be called a triumphal entry? Athanasius puts it like this. Since it was man who sinned and not an animal or piece of fruit, therefore it is man who must be punished. But since our sin is an infinite sin, and infinite sin demands infinite penalty, therefore what is necessary is that either you and I must suffer infinitely, or an infinite person be found to suffer in our place. And here we go. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. On this very day, 2,000 years ago, thousands of lambs were being paraded into Jerusalem to be sacrificed for the Passover on the eve of Good Friday. And on this very day, as thousands of lambs are being paraded into Jerusalem for sacrifice, here comes Jesus in the midst of those lambs, being paraded into Jerusalem for his sacrifice. For he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How can Palm Sunday be called a triumphal entry? Jesus is about to be betrayed, beaten, bloodied, and buried. So how can it be called a triumphal entry? Because this is God's perfect plan to save sinners. John 11, it is better that one man die than that all should perish. That's why it's a triumphal entry. Yes, as Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he is sobbing profusely. He is crying his eyes out. But this is not because he's about to lose. He's sobbing profusely and crying his eyes out because he's about to win, yet so many people are blowing off his victory and peace that he's come to purchase with his own blood and his own suffering and death. But whether we receive it or reject his gifts, nevertheless, Christ has triumphed. Whether you believe it or reject it, 2,000 years ago, you were forgiven all of your sins on Calvary's cross by Jesus. Whether you choose to continue to live in the poverty of your sins or to rejoice in the reality of your forgiveness, life, and salvation that are given to you in Jesus. Nevertheless, his forgiveness, life, and salvation are there for you. They have been won for you. In the midst of all of his tears, Jesus says in John 16 on his way to the cross, "The prince of this world now stands condemned." Because the blood of Jesus exonerates us of all of the sins that the devil has been accusing us of. Therefore, the devil, the serpent, doesn't have a leg to stand on when he accuses us because of the blood that forgives us for every sin he's still accusing us of. Which is why I always like to say the devil's just shooting blanks. He's all out of ammo. We're covered with the Teflon coating of Jesus' blood that he cannot penetrate. In Luke's account of the triumphal entry, the crowds not only shout, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," but they also shout, "Peace in heaven." Now why? Remember that Luke's gospel began with the birth of Jesus and the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all mankind on whom God's favor rests." That is, Jesus was born to restore peace, shalom, between sinners and God. And Jesus got the job done. Colossians 1 declares, "God reconciled the whole world to himself by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross." You are reconciled to God. Sinners are mediated or brought near to God in the death of Jesus. And God is mediated to us. He's no longer mad at us in the death of Jesus. This is a triumphal entry. Good Friday is Jesus' victory. Easter morning declares it and begins that celebration that will never end, of which we are a part of already, and which we will be a part of in the kingdom of glory or heaven that is to come. In closing, there's only one other place in the New Testament where palm branches are mentioned. In Revelation 7, all of the saints in heaven who've already made it home victorious are celebrating Christ's victory even now, this day, that he's come, now that Jesus has come into that victory through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And Revelation 7 says, "I looked, And there before me was a great multitude, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, Jesus. And they were wearing white robes, which represents the righteousness of Christ covering us, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb." There's something big here that I want you to see. On Palm Sunday, the crowds were waving palm branches and crying out, "Hosanna." And Hosanna means save us. But those in heaven, they're holding palm branches and waving palm branches, but they're not shouting, "Hosanna, save us." In heaven, now they're crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God and unto the Lamb," because Jesus got the job done. Palm Sunday is indeed a triumphal entry, because Jesus is going to do battle with sin, death, hell, and the devil. And this is a war in which shed blood wins. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us continue with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great rescue that you have brought about in the sending of your Son to be our substitute and to provide atonement or a blood covering for all of our sins, a blood that has caused you to forgive our sins and to remember them no more. For this we are eternally grateful. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your triumphal entry, that even though by your triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, you did get very, very bloody and died on our behalf, but by your blood, you have won the victory for us over sin, death, hell, and the power of the devil. And by your blood, we are reconciled to God, and we are forgiven of every sin we ever did wrong, and every sin that made God mad at us. And for this we are eternally grateful, Jesus. And O Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing us to faith that Jesus is indeed our Savior, that you've brought conviction into our hearts, that everything has been paid for, everything is now finished, it's all completed, it's all done, and we are indeed saved children of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." And now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Again, as we get ready to celebrate the most important week in the history of the world, this Holy Week, as we celebrate Christ's entry into Jerusalem, his Good Friday death, and his Easter resurrection, we'd like to invite you to please join us for worship at Trinity Lutheran Church, 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. This Good Friday, Monday, Thursday service is at 6:30 p.m. Our Good Friday service is at 6:30 p.m. And our Easter morning service will be at 9 a.m. Please join us for the celebration of Christ's forgiving death and his victorious resurrection, which are all for you. God bless you this week.